This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyah. Wa istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una. وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on with our series on the lives of the Sahabiyat, the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we continue on with the lives of the ummahatul mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so last week we covered the story of Sauda bint Zam'a radiyallahu anha. And today we move on to the life of another great companion and wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is Hafsa bint Umar. Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufail. And so Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufail, she was from this noble family. And Umar ibn al-Khattab is from Quraysh. He is from the Banu Adi family of Quraysh. And her father, Umar ibn Khattab, was who he was. You know, not much of an introduction is required regarding her father, the close companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, the second Khalifa, successor after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and also you know, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned many virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Among his virtues is that he has been promised with Jannah, among the 10 that the Prophet ﷺ promised. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, he accepted Islam later on in Mecca. So he was not from the early Muslims. But when he became a Muslim, his Islam became a source of strength for the Muslims, who at the time in Mecca, they were weak, they were oppressed, they were persecuted. And so he brought strength. He was the man that he was, a very strong personality. And so that is her father, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh. As for her mother was Zainab bint Mad'un. Zainab bint Mad'un, who was the sister of Uthman ibn Mad'un. We mentioned Uthman ibn Mad'un last week. Whoever was present, can they remember who Uthman ibn Mad'un was? He was a noble companion, not to be confused with Uthman ibn Affan. He was the husband of Khawla bint Hakim, the one who came and proposed to the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha and Sauda. So the wife of Umar ibn Khattab was the sister of Uthman ibn Mad'un. And Hafsa radiallahu anha, she was their eldest daughter. She was their eldest daughter. And she was born in Mecca when Quraysh were rebuilding the Kaaba. And this was an event that took place about 5 years before the prophethood. 5 years before the Prophet ﷺ received the first revelation. And so she was brought up in this noble family of Quraysh. Hafsa, radiallahu anha, she first married a noble companion by the name of Khunais ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi. Khunais ibn Hudhafa, who had embraced Islam in the early days through the efforts of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. You know, Abu Bakr radiallahu an, many of the early Muslims, their Islam was through him, through Abu Bakr, including this first husband of Hafsa. And he was young, and he left on the first hijrah to Abyssinia with some of his relatives. And when he returned to Mecca, Umar radiallahu an had already accepted Islam. So Hafsa, who was a Muslim, she married Khunais ibn Hudhafa. So when he returned from Abyssinia, that is when they got married, when Umar radiallahu an had already accepted Islam. And so at the time, she would have been approximately 14 years old at the time of this first marriage. Then both of them migrated with all of the Muslims from Mecca in the Hijrah to Medina. So in Medina, in the second year of the Hijrah, we had the Battle of Badr. And Khunais, radiallahu anhu, he participated in this great battle. And he was badly injured. But he managed to make it back to Medina. And Hafsa, radiallahu anha, she took good care of him, nursing his wounds and his injuries. However, in the end, he succumbed to those injuries and he passed away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam led his janazah and he buried him in the graveyard of Baqir. Although they were married for a few years, they did not have any children. So now, the father of Hafsa radiallahu anha, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he became worried for his daughter. She was young, and at this young age, she had become widowed. You know, we're talking about at the age of 20. So he cared for her and he loved her a lot, and he did not want his daughter to remain single. So as soon as she completed her waiting period, her iddah, for one whose husband passes away, which is 4 months and 10 days, Umar radiallahu anhu, immediately he went out in search for someone to marry his daughter. And we learn a huge lesson in how Umar ibn al-Khattab went about looking for someone for his daughter. His only concern was to find someone righteous for his daughter. That was his main concern. And this is why Imam al-Bukhari, in his Sahih al-Bukhari, he titled the chapter in which he narrates this story, he titled it as chapter presenting one's daughter or sister in marriage to righteous people. To righteous people. And so this shows us the importance of looking for, the deen and righteousness and someone who is religious as the main quality in someone who we want our daughters or sisters to marry. And unfortunately, today that's not the case. Most fathers, they will look for every quality in a person for their daughters to marry, except the deen and how religious and how righteous this person is, how fearing he is of Allah, etc. You know, the first thing they look at is, you know, what does he do? What is his job? What degrees does he have? And then, you know, the deen is usually the last thing they look for. And I mention this because, you know, Umar radiallahu an, look at what he did. Umar radiallahu an narrates a story himself, and this is in Sahih Bukhari. He said, when Hafsa became a widow after the death of Khunais ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi, I went to Uthman ibn Affan and I offered Hafsa to him. Right? So the first person he went to was Uthman radiallahu an. Uthman ibn Affan, who was known for, you know, being a very, very pious and, you know, righteous Muslim. And it so happened that Uthman's wife had also just passed away. Uthman radiallahu an, he was married to the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya. He was married to Ruqayya. And shortly after the Battle of Badr, she had passed away. So Umar radiallahu an, he jumped on the opportunity. He's like, Uthman is single. Let me go to him first. Uthman said, let me think over it. Umar radiallahu an says, I waited for a few days. Then I met him in the masjid. And I asked him, you know, what do you think? Did you think over it? So Uthman radiallahu an, he says, you know, I think it's not possible for me to marry right now. So Uthman radiallahu an turned down the offer. He said, right now, I'm not interested in getting married. So then, Umar says, I met Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And I said to him, if you wish, I will marry my daughter Hafsa to you. Again, look at his choice. You know, he's going for the best of the companions. He goes to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr was already married, right? But yet, that did not make Umar radiallahu an to, you know, that was not a reason for not offering Abu Bakr radiallahu an to marry his daughter. So Umar radiallahu an says, Abu Bakr remained silent and did not say anything to me in reply. He didn't say anything. So Umar says, I became even more angry with him than Uthman. Because Abu Bakr did not give any answer, while Uthman, at least, he said, I'll think over it. And then later on, he turned down the offer. But Abu Bakr just stayed silent. He didn't say anything. In another narration, it says that Umar then went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about this. To complain about, you know, these two companions. That, you know, I first went to Uthman, he turned down my offer, then I went to Abu Bakr and he didn't say anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar, Hafsa will marry someone better than Uthman, and Uthman will marry someone better than Hafsa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hafsa will marry someone better than Uthman, And Uthman will marry someone better than Hafsa. So, obviously we know that Hafsa ends up marrying someone better than Uthman, and that is the Prophet ﷺ. As for Uthman marrying someone better than Hafsa, this refers to the other daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is Kulthum. So Uthman ended up marrying two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why he is known as Dhu an-Nurayn, the one who possessed two lights, referring to the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyways, Umar continues. He says, I then waited for a few days. And these must have been very, very long days for Umar. You know, look at how concerned he is about his daughter. He says, I waited for a few days, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me asking for her hand, and so I gave her in marriage to him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached Umar radiallahu anhu and said, I will marry Hafsa. Umar continues, he says, afterwards I met Abu Bakr, who said to me, perhaps you became angry with me when you offered Hafsa to me and I didn't say anything. And so I said yes. Abu Bakr said, nothing stopped me from responding to your offer except that I knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned her, and I did not want to reveal the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had refused her, I would have accepted her. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had this inside information that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was interested in her. So he said, that's why I didn't say anything to you. Hafsa radiallahu anha was 21 when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. And so as we can see, she was young. And as a result, she had a very strong relationship and friendship with Aisha radiallahu anha, who was also young. And this is now the fourth wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the third who is alive. So you had Sauda and Aisha, and now Hafsa. And so Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, they had a very strong friendship all the way until the very end, as we're going to see. And so let us now go through some important incidents that took place concerning Hafsa radiallahu anha. One day, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ got together and asked the Prophet ﷺ to increase their allowance and, you know, their expenditure. They were asking for material things. They wanted more things in their house. In Sahih Muslim, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates. He says, one day when Abu Bakr and Umar visited the Prophet ﷺ, they saw that his wives were sitting around him and he was quiet. So he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, they are sitting around me as you see. They are asking for money for household expenditure. So the two of them, Abu Bakr and Umar, they got extremely upset. They took both of their daughters to the side, so Aisha and Hafsa, and they started to give it to them. They said, you know, each of them, Abu Bakr and Umar, said to, you know, their daughters, why is it that you're embarrassing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you're demanding from him that which he doesn't have? And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some of the verses from Surah Al-Ahzab. And in particular, verse 28 onwards. of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. Allah says, O Prophet, say to your wives, if you desire the life of this dunya and its luxury, then come, I will give you a suitable compensation, meaning divorce, and I will let you go graciously. وَإِنْ كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. But if you desire Allah and His Messenger and the everlasting home of the Akhirah, then surely Allah has prepared a great reward for those of you who do good. So the Prophet ﷺ started with Aisha, giving her the choice of either returning to her parents or staying with him. She said that she would never choose anyone over him. Right? She said, I am going to stay with you. You know, Allah has told you to give us the choice of either staying with you or leaving you, and I choose to stay with you. But then she said, I have a request. She asked the Prophet ﷺ, have you asked any of your other wives yet the same question? So the Prophet ﷺ said, no. She said, then I ask you to not tell them of my decision. So what she wanted was that the other wives don't hear that she decided to stay. And as a result, they don't copy her and they also say that we want to stay with you. Basically, she was hoping that she would remain alone with the Prophet ﷺ while the others decide to, you know, to leave the Prophet ﷺ. However, the Prophet ﷺ did tell them that this was the decision Aisha took. In the end, all of them ended up choosing to stay with the Prophet ﷺ, and so they chose the Akhirah over the dunya. And, you know, this counts as one of the virtues of these women, that, you know, even though the Prophet ﷺ did not have much of the dunya, and he left behind very little, they preferred that and the home of the Akhirah over the luxuries of the dunya. Then we have another story where verses were revealed concerning both Aisha and Hafsa. And there are multiple stories narrated concerning these verses. Which verses are these? They are the first verses of Surah At-Tahrim. Surah At-Tahrim. And so there's more than one story as to why these verses were revealed. And each story mentions that it was regarding Aisha and Hafsa. But the story is different for regarding why these verses were revealed. We'll go through the stories that have been mentioned. The most authentic one is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And the story is that basically whenever the Prophet ﷺ would spend time with each of his wives, so obviously at nighttime he had a different, he had set a schedule. So one night with each of his wives. But during the daytime, he would visit all of his wives during the daytime, especially after Asr, he would go and visit all of his wives. So when he would go in and visit his wives, they would offer him something, you know, whatever they had, whatever food or drink they had, they would offer it to him. They would try to offer him whatever special thing that they had. So on one particular day, the Prophet ﷺ, he spent a very long time with Zainab bint Jahsh, his wife, Zainab radiallahu anha. So Hafsa and Aisha were waiting and wondering, what's taking him so long? Why is he spending so much time with her? So they found out that Zainab radiallahu anha had presented the Prophet ﷺ with a very special honey that she was gifted with. So honey is something that, you know, you take your time to drink it. It's not like water or milk, but you take your time to drink it. So Hafsa and Aisha, they got jealous. And they said, well, we don't have any honey to offer the Prophet, so what should we do? So they basically agreed on something. They said, whoever the Prophet ﷺ comes to first, between me and you. So between Hafsa and Aisha, whoever comes to us first, we will say to him, I notice a very strong odor of a particular kind of gum on you. So this gum is something that is sweet and it resembles honey, but it has a very, very bad smell. It has a very, very bad smell. So they said, we're going to say to the Prophet ﷺ, I notice a very strong odor of this gum on you. And the Prophet ﷺ, he never used to like to eat anything that had a bad smell to it. You know, like onions and garlic. And he would say the reason was because he would frequently meet Jibreel. And it was very offensive. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the angels are offended by what we human beings are offended by. So anyways, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ended up first going to see Aisha. So what did she say? She said, O Messenger of Allah, I notice a very strong odor of this gum on you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no, I didn't have any gum. I only had some honey with Zainab. She said, no, it's gum, it's not honey. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm sure I just had some honey. But anyways, I swear I will never do it again. Meaning, I will never have that again. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, starting with, you know, the first verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first verse of Surah At-Tahrim, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. O Prophet, why do you prohibit yourself? Why do you make something haram for yourself that Allah has made halal for you, seeking to please your wives? And Allah is the all-forgiving and the most merciful. So this is one story, and this is the most authentic. Then we have another story. It's a weaker narration. It says that Hafsa radiallahu anha went to spend time with her friend Aisha when it was her day with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alone in the place of Aisha, in her home, Hafsa is not here. She went to go spend time with Aisha. So the Prophet ﷺ was lonely, and he had Maria al-Qibtiyya. Maria was gifted to the Prophet ﷺ. She was a Coptic Christian. She was gifted by the ruler of Egypt to the Prophet ﷺ as a slave woman. So the Prophet ﷺ had her come into the house of Hafsa to give him some company. So when Hafsa came and saw Maria, she got very upset and she said, in my home, on my bed, on my day. So the Prophet ﷺ said, calm down. Just for you, I will make her forbidden for me forever. Meaning, for your sake, I will basically never have intimacy with her. But I don't want you to tell anyone. I don't want you to tell anyone. But Hafsa radiallahu anha, she wasn't able to keep it a secret from her best friend Aisha. And so she went and told her. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Hafsa went and told Aisha. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat. Right? The same verse. O Prophet, why do you prohibit yourself from what Allah has made halal for you, seeking to please your wives. And then Allah says, قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah has already ordained for you the way to absolve yourselves from your oaths. Meaning that if you make an oath and you want to break that oath. So here, the Prophet ﷺ made an oath either that he will never eat that honey again, or that he will never have intimate relations with Maria, depending on which story is authentic. So here, Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ that he should break the oath. And Allah is saying here that I have already taught you how to break your oath, and that is mentioned in another verse in the Quran, and that is by freeing a slave. And so the Prophet ﷺ freed a slave. And then Allah says, وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا. When the Prophet once secretly told something to one of his wives, meaning Hafsa. فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ. Then when she disclosed the secret to another wife, meaning Aisha, and Allah made it known to him, to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ presented to her, meaning he called Hafsa, and told her a part of what she disclosed and ignored another part. So basically, Allah told the Prophet ﷺ everything that Hafsa went and told Aisha. The Prophet ﷺ called Hafsa and told her, this is what you went and told Aisha. Allah says, فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا. When he informed her of it, she asked, who told you this? قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He replied, I was informed by Al-Alim, Al-Khabir, the all-knowing, the all-aware. So the entire conversation, we can see, has been, revealed in ayat that would be recited until the Day of Judgment. And then Allah says, إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. It will be better if you two, meaning Hafsa and Aisha, Allah says, it will be better if both of you turn to Allah in repentance, for indeed your hearts have certainly faltered. وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. But if you continue to collaborate against him, then know that Allah himself is his guardian, and Jibreel, and the righteous believers, and the angels are all his supporters as well. So all of these ayat were revealed concerning Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma. Now, as a result of this incident, it is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ was very upset at his wives. And then he decided to stay away from them for a whole month. Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrates the story. Actually, it's narrated by Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, who narrated it from Umar. Abdullah Ibn Abbas says that I was very eager to ask Umar about the two women from among the wives of the Prophet ﷺ about whom Allah revealed these ayat. So one day I performed Hajj along with Umar. So we're talking about many years later, when it was the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anh. So Ibn Abbas, he says, I made Hajj that year, and on the way back, I saw Umar. He went to the side, and I went with him, carrying some water. So he relieved himself. When he finished and he came, I had a jug of water, and I started to pour the water on his hands, and he made wudu. So I said to him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, who were the two women from the wives of the Prophet ﷺ regarding whom Allah revealed these verses from Surah At-Tahrim? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'm surprised that you're asking me, O Ibn Abbas. Why did Umar say this? Because Abdullah ibn Abbas was very, very knowledgeable of tafsir, of the meanings of the verses of the Quran. So he was surprised that, you know, Abdullah ibn Abbas, you know, was clueless regarding who these verses were revealed concerning. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he went and he related the whole story. He said, Umar said, we, the men of Quraysh, used to have authority over our women. But when we came to live with the Ansar of Medina, we noticed that the Ansari women had the upper hand over their men. So our women from Mecca, they started to acquire the habits of these women of Medina. He says, at that time, I was living outside of Medina. And one day I got angry with my wife and she spoke back to me. And I really did not like her answering me back. So she said, why do you not like me talking back to you? By Allah, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ talk back to him. And some of them may not speak with him for the whole day until night. Then I went to Hafsa and I asked her, do you talk back to the Messenger of Allah? She said, yes. I asked, does any of you keep Allah's Messenger angry all day until night? She replied, yes. I said, whoever among you does that, then she is ruined. Doesn't she fear Allah, that Allah may become angry for the anger of his Messenger? And thus she will be ruined. Don't ask Allah's Messenger for too many things. If you need anything, come to me. And then he said, don't be tempted to imitate your neighbor, your friend. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about Aisha. He's telling Hafsa, don't be tempted to imitate your neighbor, for she is more beautiful than you and more beloved to Allah's Messenger than you. He goes on, Umar radiallahu anh, he says, me and an Ansari neighbor of mine used to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in turns. He used to go one day and I would go another. When I went, I would bring him the news of what happened that day regarding any new revelation. And when he went, he used to do the same for me. Basically, Umar radiallahu anh, as we said, he was living outside of Medina at the time. So he says, I had a neighbor and we would take turns going to Medina and, you know, basically bringing the news of the latest revelation. So he says, in those days, there was a rumor that the Ghassan tribe were preparing to launch an attack against the Muslims in Medina. So my companion went and he came back that night knocking on my door. I came out and he said that something serious has happened. I asked him, what is it? Have the Ghassan tribe, have they come? He replied that it was worse and more serious than that. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has divorced all of his wives. So I said, Hafsa is a ruined loser. I expected that that would happen someday. He says, I then dressed myself, I quickly prayed Fajr, and I went to Hafsa and I found her crying. I asked her, has Allah's Messenger divorced all of you? She said, I don't know. He is there alone in that room. So the Prophet ﷺ, he isolated himself. He isolated himself in this room. So I went to the room and I asked, there was a slave of the Prophet ﷺ who was guarding that room. I went and I asked him for permission to enter. So the boy, he went in and then he came out and he said, I told the Prophet ﷺ about you, but he didn't say anything. The Prophet ﷺ did not say anything. So then I went out and I went to the masjid And I found that there was a group of people who had gathered, and some of them were crying. I sat with them for some time, but I couldn't stand the situation. So I went back to the slave, and I asked him, "Will you give me permission to enter?" So he went and he asked the Prophet ﷺ, and again he came out saying the same thing. He said, "I mentioned you to him," but he did not reply. So then I went back, Umar says, I went back to the masjid and I sat with the people who were sitting, but I couldn't bear the situation. I went again and I asked him, "Will you get permission for Umar?" And so he went in and he came out with the same reply. He says, when I was leaving, the boy, he called me, he said, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has granted you permission." So I entered and I greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I saw him lying down on a mat without any bedding on it. So it was like a straw mat. And the mat had left its marks on the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the famous incident where Umar radiallahu an, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kings of the world, the emperor of Rome and Persia, they are living in their luxuries that they're living in, and yet you are who you are, the most beloved to Allah, and yet, look at how you're living. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Are you not happy that for them will be the dunya, but for us will be the akhirah?" So then, Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, "I asked the Prophet ﷺ, 'Have you divorced your wives?' He raised his eyes to me and he replied, 'No.' So I said, 'Allahu Akbar.' So he made takbir so loud that everyone outside had heard. And so they were happy because they knew that it must be some good news. So then Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "We the people of Quraysh, we used to have the upper hand over our women. But when we came to Medina, we found a people whose women had the upper hand over them. Our women started to learn from this behavior. And one day I got angry with my wife and she talked back to me. And I didn't like that behavior from her. And then she told me, 'Why do you not like it when the wives of the Prophet ﷺ talk back to him?' And one of them would ignore him for the whole day until the night. So I said to her, 'Whoever does this from among them, she is ruined. Does she feel safe from Allah getting angry with her on account of his messenger becoming angry?' So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled. Then I said, 'O Messenger of Allah,' I went to Hafsa and I said to her, 'You know, do not become tempted to imitate your friend,' meaning Aisha, "for she is more beautiful than you and more beloved to the Prophet." Again, the Prophet smiled. When I saw him smiling, I said, "Is the Messenger of Allah now calm?" The Prophet said, "Yes." So here we can see Umar was doing all of this to console the Prophet, to comfort him, to bring him out of his state of anger. So the Prophet was angry, this was the story. Then Umar radiallahu anhu told Ibn Abbas at the end of the narration, he said the Prophet ﷺ swore that he would not go to his wives for a whole month because of his severe anger towards them until Allah censured him for that. And so these are the stories related to these ayat from Surah At-Tahrim. In another incident, Umar radiallahu an narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to divorce Hafsa. So Jibreel came to him and said, "Do not divorce her, for indeed she is as-sawwama al-qawwama. She is one who fasts a lot and she stands praying a lot. So she fasts a lot and she prays a lot. And she is your wife in Jannah. And she is your wife in Jannah. In another narration, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ actually did divorce her. And then Jibreel came and told him to take her back because she is one who fasts a lot and stands praying a lot, and she is your wife in Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ took her back. In a third narration, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ divorced Hafsa, and then when Umar heard of this, he threw dust on his head in grief. And he said, "What does Allah care about Umar and his daughter after this?" The next day, Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Allah commands you to take Hafsa back out of mercy for Umar, for the sake of Umar." So this shows us some of the virtues of Hafsa radiallahu anha. And so she was like the other wives that we mentioned, known for her ibadah, known for her ibadah and her worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one narration narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the two of them had started the day fasting. So she says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered to find the two of us, and Hafsa spoke before me, saying, "O Messenger of Allah, Aisha and myself woke up with the intention of fasting. But then some food was given to us as a gift, and we ended up breaking our fast. So the Prophet ﷺ told us not to worry about it, as the fast can be made up another day." So this shows us how, you know, she used to fast a lot, and she used to pray Qiyam al-Layl a lot. And it is mentioned that even in her last days, when she became very old, Hafsa radiallahu anha would still be fasting. She was also known to have a good relationship with the Book of Allah, the Quran. And so it is mentioned that she memorized the entire Quran. She was a hafiza, which was not something common in those days. Yes, memorizing the Quran is something important. It is something that gives us a lot of rewards. But the companions, they didn't have this. The majority of them did not memorize the Quran. Only a select few were known to have memorized the entire Quran, and one of them was Hafsa radiallahu anha. In the time of Abu Bakr, when he was the Khalifa, Umar radiallahu anhu came to him and said that we should gather the entire Quran in one mushaf. So when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, there was the Quran. It was not preserved in one book, because Allah preserved it in the hearts, right? That is how Allah preserved the Quran, not by preserving it in book form. So what happened is many of those who had memorized the Quran were killed in some of the battles after the death of the Prophet ﷺ in the time of Abu Bakr. So Umar radiallahu anhu was worried that all these people who memorized the Quran, they have gone. So he said, he suggested to Abu Bakr to gather it in one mushaf. So Abu Bakr did that. He assigned one of the companions, Zayd ibn Thabit, with this task. So the Quran, it was gathered into one mushaf, and it was kept with Abu Bakr. Then when Abu Bakr passed away, this mushaf, it was handed over to Umar, since he is the next Khalifa. Then when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, right? That's how he ended up passing away. He was assassinated. He was stabbed, but he didn't die right away. it took a few hours before he passed away. He asked that the Mus'haf stay with his daughter Hafsa. So Umar radiallahu anh did not appoint the next Khalifa. So he said, let this Mus'haf to stay with Hafsa. Then the next Khalifa was Uthman. And in the time of Uthman radiallahu anh, this is when he basically commissioned a group of the companions to make one standard Mus'haf, right? To standardize the Mus'haf, because there were different Mus'hafs and there were different modes of recitation, different ways of reciting the Qur'an, because Allah revealed the Qur'an in seven different modes of recitation. So anyways, Uthman radiallahu anhu wanted there to be one standardized Mus'haf, so that there's no dispute and there's no, differences in the ummah. So he commissioned that, and that's why the current Mus'haf that we have is known as the Mus'haf of Uthman. It's known as the Mus'haf of Uthman. So he requested to borrow the original Mus'haf from Hafsa, to produce several copies of it, and to send it to the major regions of the vast Islamic empire. So she did that. She allowed him to borrow it, and then he returned it to her. So this is how Hafsa radiallahu anha not only preserved the Quran in her heart, but also the hard copy of the original Mus'haf. Now, what ended up happening with this Mus'haf? In the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anh, the governor of Medina, Mirwan ibn al-Hakam, he asked Hafsa for the Mus'haf because he wanted to destroy it. And the reason for that was because now we have one standardized Mus'haf and there should no longer be any other Mus'haf. In fact, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he ordered all other Mus'hafs to be burnt, right? In the time of Uthman, once he made one standardized Mus'haf and he made copies of it, he ordered all other ones to be burnt except that one original Mus'haf, because he borrowed it from Hafsa. You know, he didn't say that he wanted it to destroy it. He borrowed it, so he had to return it to her. So now the governor of Medina, Mirwan ibn al-Hakam, he asked Hafsa for it, but she refused. She refused to hand it over. Then when she passed away, the governor, he asked Abdullah ibn Umar, the brother of Hafsa, for the Mus'haf, and he did hand it over to him, and he ended up destroying it. And the reason for that is, as we mentioned, so that there is no fitna, and we have only one Mus'haf that we rely upon. Hafsa radiallahu anha was known for her intelligence and her literary skills. It is said that, you know, she used to speak very eloquently. And so she adopted her father's sharpness and insight and intelligence. However, unlike Aisha radiallahu anha, she did not narrate that many ahadith. So we mentioned when we spoke about Aisha radiallahu anha that she narrated many ahadith. Aisha radiallahu anha was among the top narrators of hadith. As for Hafsa, she only narrated some 60 ahadith. Hafsa radiallahu anha, she ended up passing away at the age of 59. She was 59 years old when she passed away, in the Khilafah of Muawiyah radiallahu anh, and that was in the year 45 of the Hijra, and she was buried in Al-Baqi'a, the graveyard of Baqi'a in Medina. And so this is the life of Hafsa, the daughter of Umar radiallahu anh. And this marriage of the Prophet ﷺ to Hafsa and also to Aisha, it shows us something very, very important. And that is the status of these two companions, meaning Umar and Abu Bakr, respectively. These two companions were the closest companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what made their bond with him even stronger was that they married their daughters to him. Right? This shows us how strong how strong of a relationship they had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this refutes, you know, the claims of the Shia and the Rafida who like to criticize these two companions, and some of them who even curse these two companions, and they even curse Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma. But as we can see, you know, the fact that they married their two daughters to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us how close they were to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why we Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we consider that the best of this ummah after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abu Bakr, then Umar, and then, you know, the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah differed. Who was the best? Was it Uthman and then Ali, or was it Ali and then Uthman? There is a difference of opinion, but that was in the beginning, meaning among the early generations of the Ummah, they differed. But later on, they agreed that, you know, it became known that Uthman was the next best, and then Ali. So in the order of the Khilafah. But they did not disagree on Abu Bakr and Umar as being the two best of this Ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is where we will stop, insha'Allah ta'ala, for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.